Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is Daf Lamed Tes. Of Yitzhak Hashem, we are already almost done with most of Lamed Tes Amud Aleph. We're starting at the Mishnah about 15 lines up from the bottom of the Daf, and Yitzhak Hashem we're going to finish not only Lamed Tes but Mem Amud Aleph. Now we begin at the Mishnah. Mitzvah begodol liyabe. The mitzvah of Yibam, as we've already learned previously, is by the oldest brother that is around, as we'll see. The oldest living brother, if he's around. And he should preferentially be offered the opportunity to do Yibam first. We had said previously that if anybody else jumped in and did Yibam beforehand, or even Chalitza, so then it would be effective. But ideally, the mitzvah should be done based upon the psukim that we went through previously by the Bechor, which means the oldest brother that is around. So mitzvah begodol liyabim. However, lo rotza, if he doesn't want to do yibum, so then mahalchan al kol achim. Then we go ask the next brother, the next brother, the next brother to do yibum. Lo rotzu, if none of the other brothers are willing to do yibum, then chosun etzol godol. Then you go back to the oldest son to go and do v'omim lo alecha mitzvah. If you used to do the mitzvah, o chalotz o yabim. Again, you have still the opportunity to do yibum. Nobody has done chalitz yet, but if you're not going to do yibum, and none of the other brothers had said that they wanted to do yibum, then do the mitzvah of chalitza. Tola b'katan achiyagdil. If this oldest brother says, listen, there is a younger brother who's below the age of bar mitzvah, here, let's wait till he gets to the age of bar mitzvah and can do yibum. Rav Meir says that we're choshesh limiyuta, that maybe this child, if he were to do yibum while he was a katan, a nine-year-old boy who has bia, that bia is considered a valid bia, so he could, in fact, do yibum as a katan, but Rav Meir is choshesh limiyuta, so he's concerned that this child might end up being a saris, be incapable of having children, and as a result, the bia, in retrospect, would not have been a mitzvah of yibum. So, according to the Chachamim, we're not concerned about that, but according to Rav Meir, we are. Even according to the Chachamim, you'd want to wait till the child is a bar mitzvah. So if the child is a katan, and we say, let's go and wait, the oldest son says, maybe he'll want to do yibum when he becomes a bar mitzvah, so let's wait till he becomes a bar mitzvah. Or alternatively, the oldest brother around is not the oldest living brother. There's an older brother that's across the ocean. And they say, let's wait, obegadol, let's wait till the oldest brother, the really oldest brother, until he comes back from Medina Sayyam, and Shivom Medina Sayyam, he comes back from his business trip or from wherever he lives overseas, and then we'll go and see if he wants to do yibum. Or if there's a brother that's either a cheresh, a person who is both unable to hear and unable to speak, and is not halachically now competent, oshota, or a person who is unfortunately not mentally competent, but it is possible that this is a temporary illness or temporary situation, and therefore they could say, well, maybe this cheresh will be misrape, or the shota will be misrape, so let's wait, I won't do chalitza now, the older brother says, let's wait till either the katan becomes a gadol, or until the one who's the oldest brother comes back from his overseas trip, or until this cheresh or shota becomes mentally competent, ain't shomelo, we don't listen to him, el omlo, ella, the Mishnah tells us that we say to this oldest brother here right now, none of the brothers who's here right now wants to do yibam, so alecha mitzvah, you therefore, the mitzvah falls upon you, either you do chalitza or yibam, or chalotz or yabem. You obviously didn't want to do yibam, that's why it says do chalitza first. Obviously, he still could do yibam if he wished to. Now, I believe the reason why we don't wait for any of these situations to occur is because you're also dealing with Nebuch the poor Yavama. This woman, she's in limbo, so we don't want to keep her in limbo any longer. Either do yibum with her, and she will now have a husband, or let her be muteris lashuk, do chalitza with her, to permit her to go marry somebody else. Gemara Stoffen says, Itmar. Gemara asks the following question, Bias katan the chalitza's godol. If we have a choice here, that the youngest brother, now here katan doesn't mean a child, here it means the younger brother who's above the age of bar mitzvah. So Bias katan, the younger brother, doesn't have to be the youngest, it's any younger brother than the oldest brother, wants to do yibam, but the oldest brother says, I'm more than happy to do chalitza. So Bias katan, the alternative is, have one of the younger brothers, who's above the age of bar mitzvah, do yibam, or have the oldest brother that's available do chalitza. So this is a machlokis. Pligibo Rav Yochanan Rav Shimon Levi. This is a machlokis in Rav Yochanan Shimon Levi. Chadamar bias katan adifa. The chadamar chalitza is gadol adifa. Which one is preferable? So one opinion says, no, bia is always preferable. Yibam is always preferable. So even if it's not the oldest brother, let the younger brother do the yibam. The other opinion says, no, the oldest brother, it's always preferable that he do either yibam or chalitza. So his chalitza is preferable than any other younger brother's yibam. What's the thought process over here? Mandiyama bias katan adifa. The one who says that it's preferable to have yibam done by even a younger brother is because the mitzvah yibam. The mitzvah is to do yibam. Chalitza is a matir, a matira for this woman who's the Yavama to get married if nobody wants to do Yibum with her. So it's only an after-the-fact type of a situation to do chalitza. It's preferable, the mitzvah is to do Yibum. And therefore, the Yibum of any brother is preferable to the chalitza by the oldest brother. And the other opinion that says, no, it's better to have the oldest brother do chalitza. So, bimkom gadol b'yes katan lav klumu. Because if there's an older brother, the mitzvah is by the bechor, the oldest brother that's available. So it's preferable for him to do chalitza rather than a younger brother doing Yibum. That's the question tonight. So we'll try to prove it from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, Lo Rotza, they go and ask the oldest brother, do Yibam. He doesn't want to. So it said, Machzir and Akol Ach, and we go and ask the next brother, the next brother, the next brother, till you get through all the brothers. So isn't it asking, my lav, Lo Rotza Le Yabim El Alachlos, if none of the brothers wants to do Yibam, they only want to do Chalitza. That's what the Mishnah is talking about, isn't it? And it says, Uktani, Mahalchen Eitzel Achim. We go and ask all the Achim. In other words, we don't allow the oldest brother to do Chalitza. We first try to get one of the other brothers to do Yibam. Shmamina, don't we clearly see from here that Bias Kotan is Adifa, that obviously our Mishnah seems to suggest that if the oldest brother doesn't want to do Yibam, then it's preferable for us to go to the next brother, to ask him to do Yibam, rather than to have just the first brother say, the oldest brothers do Chalitza. It says, no, that's not the way to read the Mishnah. Lo Rotza, when it says at the beginning, Lo Rotza, it meant that he didn't want to do the oldest brother Yibam, and he also didn't want to do Chalitza. He said, let the next brother do it. So they went to the next brother, asked him Yibam or Chalitza. They went to the next brother, Yibam or Chalitza. None of them wanted to do it. And only after that do they go back to the oldest brother. Now, the more questions that. The Kavasi Gabi Achim, but then, if none of the brothers wanted to do Yibam or Chalitza, Lo Rotzu, it means Lo Lachlos for Lo Liabem, so then, Am I Chosim Yitzel Agadah? Then why go back to the oldest one? Why trouble based and sort of say, okay, we'll go to the next, we'll go to the next, we'll go to the next one. But once we've gone through the whole list, there's five brothers that can do Yibam or Chalitza. So the first four said no, then we go to the fifth one, and he also says no, so then ask him to do Chalitza right then and there. Am I Chosim Yitzel Agadah? Why do we leave him and go be matriach ourselves to go back and ask the oldest son to go do it? We're going to force the oldest brother to do it, so l'chpayet they do, so force the youngest brother to do it. If nobody's doing it voluntarily, so why go and trouble yourself to go find the oldest brother again when you have the youngest brother in front of you? Shmuel says, no, given the mitzvah alay, since the mitzvah is on the oldest brother, didei ramya, so it really falls upon him to do yibum v'chalitza. And therefore, l'didei kaifin, and therefore, when we have to force somebody, we're going to go force him. It's not an extra tircha, that's really part of the mitzvah. And therefore, we're going to force the oldest brother to do it, even though we had the youngest brother in front of us, and everybody else had already said no as well. So one tries again. It says, Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, Tola b'kotan ashiyagdil. If the oldest brother said, listen, I don't want to do Yibum Chalitza now because we have some other options. Wait till the youngest brother, who's a less than bar mitzvah age person, becomes bar mitzvah. Or there's the really oldest brother, who's across the seas. Or there's the Cheresh Shota, who are maybe going to get better, so let's wait for them. So we said, ain't shomen lo. Now, if you're going to tell me v'yibias katan adif, or if in fact it's preferable to do yibam by a younger brother than having the older brother do chalitza, so then why don't we wait? Am I ain't shomen lo? Why don't we wait for this 9-year-old kid, 3-year-old kid, to go and grow up, and maybe he'll do yibam? Am I ain't shomen lo? Nintar, we should wait. Dilma, maybe. Godil, umiyabe, maybe he's going to grow up, and he'll do yibam, and then we'll fulfill the mitzvah properly. So we'll wait 10 years. Where it says, but according to that, L'taymer, we had the same question with a brother from overseas. We said, let's wait for the really oldest brother to come from overseas. We say we don't wait for that either. But am I? Why not? Ninta, we should wait. Dilma, maybe. He's going to come and he'll do chalitza. So likewise, over there, we don't say, let's wait. So obviously, the principle is, Ella, kol shihui mitzvah. Any delaying in doing the mitzvah, lo mashina. We prefer not to delay it. And again, you have to take into account that there's a Yavama over here. So even though maybe theoretically you would like to wait, why not? What's the loss? So here there is a loss. This poor Yavama is going to be waiting around. And therefore, in all of these situations, we don't wait. But you can't bring me a raya whether Yibam is preferable by a younger brother rather than Chalitza by the older brother. So we turn to Lamed Tes Amid Beis, and we continue this discussion. So Gemara says, it's the Amre. Others explain that, in fact, the Machlokis is as follows. The Bia, in regards to doing Bia, in regards to a younger brother doing Yibam versus an older brother doing Chalitza, nobody disagrees. Kuli Amalo Pligi, the Bia is caught underneath. Everybody would agree that one of the brothers, even a younger brother doing Yibam, is preferable than the older brother doing Chalitza. And that was a simple reading of the Mishnah, that you first ask the oldest brother to do Yibam, the next brother to do Yibam, next brother to do Yibam, and if only they don't agree, then you go back to the oldest brother and say, you do Chalitza. Keep Pligi. So where's the Machlokis between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shmuel Levi, keep lige b'chalitzas katan, whether the chalitza of the katan should be done. This is the question. Chalitzas katan, chalitzas gadol. We have the choice of the younger brother or the older brother doing chalitza. Is it really a preference to have one do it versus the other? So this is the machlokus. Lige b'Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shmuel Levi. Chadamar chalitzas gadol adifa. The chadamar ki hadodi ninu. One of them says, yes, even by chalitza, it's preferable to do it with the oldest brother. Whereas the other opinion is, no, makes no difference. If you're not doing yibam, it makes no difference which brother does chalitza. And once again, the svara over here, what's the rationale? Mandi amar chalitzas gadol adifa. According to the opinion, says, no, you still want the oldest brother available to go do the chalitza rather than a younger brother to do the chalitza, because the whole mitzvah be gadol. Because the mitzvah, as we said, is the Bechor, which means the oldest brother that's available. And therefore, it's preferable even by chalitza to have the oldest brother do it. But the other opinion says, no, that's not true. When do we say that it's preferable for the mitzvah to be done by the oldest brother, by Bechor? That's only if you're doing the real mitzvah of Yibam. But once you're not doing Yibam, there is no difference. And whether a younger brother or an older brother is a chalitza, it makes no difference in halacha. Now, let's see what our Mishnah says about that. Tonight, we learned in our Mishnah, Lo Ratzu, if the youngest brothers did not want to do mitzvah of Yibam, so then, Chos and Eitzel Gadol, then we bedafka go back to the Gadol. Now, what does that mean? My love, didn't mean Lo Ratzu Li Yabim El Lachlos, that nobody wanted to do Yibam, they were willing to do Chalitza, but here we insist that the oldest brothers still do it, for Ketani Chos and Eitzel Gadol, Ushmamino, Chalitza's Gadol Adifa. So our Mishnah seems to imply that even regarding Chalitza, we prefer the oldest brother to do it. So it says, no, Lav Dafka, Lo. So we had said, as we had read, explained it the first time, there was the machlokis here, the first version. No, it means that none of the brothers want to do Yibam or Chalitza, so then you go back to the oldest brother to do it. So Gemara says, the kabasi gabi gadol, so that means by the gadol, so the oldest brother didn't want to do Yibam or Chalitza, so elamai choshen it's a gadol, so he already said he doesn't want to do it. So when you're with the youngest brother, have the youngest brother do it. Oh, why do we go and say, go back to the oldest brother, go force him to go do the chalitza. You have the youngest brother there, so go force the youngest brother to do the chalitza. Shmuel says, no, keeping the mitzvah, the day ramya. No, since the mitzvah is on the oldest brother, that's why we would definitely return to the oldest brother. So according to this understanding, there is a proof over here that you would want to have the oldest brother go and do it. The more questions is further still. Toshma, tolo begodol, achiyovu midisayam. But wait a second, according to the idea we said in the Mishnah, we don't wait for the oldest brother to come back from overseas, ain't shomen lo, we don't say we're going to do that, but if you're telling me that there really is a mitzvah to do it with the oldest brother, then why don't we wait for him to come back? We should wait till the oldest brother comes back and let him do the chalitza if this is true. Gemara says again, ultemech, this doesn't make sense, because bekotan achiyagda, we also had the choice of waiting for the youngest child who's below the age of bar mitzvah to become bar mitzvah. We also said, ain't shomu lo. Now how come? Vamai. Nintar domo yuadu miyabi. Maybe we would wait until he grows up and he'll do yibam, not chalitza. Again, inami, osiyu miyaba. Maybe we should wait for the older brother. He'll come back, not only he'll do chalitza, he'll do yibam. Again, we don't wait. Elo, kol shahu yimitzvah lo shahinu. So therefore, this is not able to be used as a proof, because whether you're going to delay to have Yibam done or delay to do Chalitza in a more optimal fashion, that's not a right, because we don't wait at all. Now the Gemara says, Tnan Hossam, we learned in the Mishnah, this Mishnah is from Bechoros, and the Mishnah tells us, Mitzvah Yibam Kodemis L'Mitzvah Chalitza. It says, Beferish over there, that the Mitzvah of Yibam is always preferable to the Mitzvah of Chalitza. Now, that was when people had a more pure interest in doing the mitzvah properly. But Rishona, she was scabbing l'shem mitzvah, that applied. When they were doing l'shem mitzvah yibam, and not for any prurient interest or for other non-pure mitzvah interest. But Rishona, she was scabbing l'shem mitzvah, the Mishnah in Bechorah said, we want you to do yibam rather than do chalitza. However, Achshav, the niskatnu adoros, the generations have decreased in their purity, so therefore, she'im scabbing l'shem mitzvah, they're not doing the mitzvah yibam solely for the purpose of the Torah tells us that you should do Yibam if Rechman of Islam, the brother, dies childless, but they're doing it because they have a beautiful wife, or because they would have like to get the money, or for whatever other reason that they have. It's not pure mitzvah reasoning. So therefore, the rabbis now said, Amru, mitzvah chalitza kodemis l'mitzvah Yibam. In this situation, it would be preferable to do chalitza rather than do a Yibam with less than a 100% pure mitzvah intent. And on this Mishnah in Bechoros, Amar Rav, Ein Kofin. We don't paskin like this fully. While we recommend that they do Chalitza rather than do Yibam nowadays, if somebody wishes to, this is where Rashi understands this, Rav is telling us that if somebody wishes to go and do Yibam in the times of the Gemara, when Rav was talking, he says, instead of your recommendation to do Chalitza, I wish to do Yibam. So Rashi understands, Amar Rav, Ein Kofin means we don't force him to do Chalitza, we allow him to do Yibam. Tosus is exactly the opposite approach and says that it means, even if the person is of a pure mind and could do the mitzvah of Yibam properly, but he chooses not to, so we don't force him to do the mitzvah of Yibam, we allow him to do the mitzvah of Chalitza. In any event, Halacha Maisa today, we don't allow anybody to do Yibam. The one exception, I heard the name of Shechta Shlita, and the name of the Rav Zatzar, Rav Yosher Soloveitchik, was a situation where Chalitza cannot be physically performed because the person is an amputee. So Reuven dies, and his brother Shimon doesn't have a right leg. So in that situation, when you don't have the physical ability to do Chalitza, so then we would even allow Yibam nowadays, albeit in the Sephardi communities, they still do Yibam under certain situations. Rav Avad Yosef Zatzal was very much against the fact that everything is becoming Ashkenized, and we're following the Ashkenazi custom of not doing Yibam at all. He says in the Sephardi communities, they were doing Yibam for many, many thousands of years, and they should continue to do so. So there is, I believe, still the custom of doing Yibam in Sephardi communities, the real Sephardi communities, but amongst the Ashkenazic Jews, the mitzvah of Yibam is no longer done via Yibam, but we follow the doing of Chalitza under almost all circumstances. Now the Gemara continues and says, Ki also l'kameh d'Rav, when people will come to Rav, Yavim and Yavam would come to Rav, Amalui would go tell them, E boyis chalutz, E boyis yabim, if you wish the Yavim to go do Chalitza with your Yavamah, then do Chalitza. But if you wish to do Yibam, you're allowed to do Yibam. B'didach tola rachmoni, it is your choice. The Torah gives you the choice. As the pasuk says, V'im lo yachpots o ish, implication being, ha'im chafetz, iboy chalitz, iboy yavim. In other words, the psukim tell us over here that if you don't wish to do Yibam, then you have the right to do Chalitza. Implication being that if you wish to do Yibam, you have the right to do Yibam. It is totally your choice. That's what Rav would tell people. Furthermore, the Afra of Yehuda, Rav Yehuda was a Talmud of Rav, he also held the same way. Sabar, Ein Kofin, like Rav, and we'll understand this like Rashi, we don't force the person, even during the times of the Gemara, when they had already seen the degradation of the generations, that people didn't have the purest of motives, so they would prefer them to do Chalitza. Nevertheless, we don't force them to do Chalitza. If they wish to do Yibam, they're allowed to. And you can see this, Midaskin Rav Yehuda, when Rav Yehuda would write, Begita de Chalitza. The word get really means document. We use it in the vernacular sense, it's a get to mean a get of Gerishin, but the word get is a document. So we call the document that they would write up for a Chalitza. So the woman would have proof that she was Chalutza, they would write a get of Chalitza. So when Rav Yehuda would write up Begita de Chalitza, would write up the get of Chalitza, the document showing that Chalitza was undergone, so he would write, In the document, Ech plonis bas ploni, how such and such a woman who was the daughter and such of a man, Ikaravis yas ploni yavama, kodmona levedina, she and her yavam came to us in our beisdin, v'ishtamodinhu, we'll explain what the word ishtamodinhu means in a moment, but it means is that we know the achua demisna me'abaniu, and we know that the yavam here is in fact the paternal brother of the widow. We know for a fact that Shimon is in fact the brother, the paternal brother of Reuven, the one who passed away, the Amrei Lei, and we said to this Shimon, it's obviously Yabem, if you wish to go do Yibam, Yabem. However, V'lo, that's why they were there in court, he didn't wish to do Yibam, Itla lo raglech diyamina, go and put out your right foot, the Itla lo raglo diyamina, and the Yavam would then put out his right foot, Usharis seine me'al ragloi, and the Yavama, this widow of Reuven would go and take off his right shoe from his right foot. And then, as the pasuk tells us, the yorkas anfoi, she would go and spit in front of his face, ruka, a spit, the mischazia lebedina al ara, that the bezdin could see coming out of her mouth, and it would land on the ground. Some don't have the gears to land on the ground, they just have to be able to see it. Lavdafkas had to land on the ground, the wind would blow it away, it wouldn't ruin it. So some are encouraged the words al ara. In any event, that's what Rabbi Yehuda would write in this document, in this Gita de Chalitza, and Rabbi Chia Bar Avia, who said in the name Mishum Mesayim Bar Mishmei, Rabbi Yehuda said that there was an additional thing that he wrote over here, that Rabbi Yehuda wrote, and he said, V'yakirinu, and we also had them read the Psukim, Matich Sebesefer Araisa de Moshe, what was written down in the Torah Akdosha of Moshe Rabbeinu that he got from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the psukim that they would say that he didn't wish to go and be Mekayim, the name of his brother, in Israel, and therefore they would write that they said these psukim as well. Fine. Now the Gemara questions, what exactly does it mean, ishtemodinu? When we said that the Beis Din knows that Shimon is the paternal brother of Reuven, what does that mean that they know? So this is a machlok, explicable by Rav Acha and Ravina. This is a machlok between Rav Acha and Ravina. Chadamar, we don't know which one said, be'edim, that there were actually two witnesses that came and testified that Shimon was the paternal brother of Reuven. You need witnesses to testify about this. And the other opinion was, Chadamar, Afilu Karav, Afilu Isha. No, you don't need two kosher witnesses. You just need to have the Beis Din know. And that could be even by a relative. Another brother could say, yeah, he is the brother. Or even a woman could say, a sister could say, yeah. Or anybody else could say, yeah, he is the brother. You don't need full testimony. Why not? Because the Hilchasa, as we paskin, like this second opinion that you don't need full testimony, because this is just the Gilu Milsu B'Yamahu. This is just a revelation of what the facts are over here, that, yeah, Shimon is the brother of Reuven, but we don't need a testimony to that, we just need to know that. And as long as we know that, we have a revelation of the facts. Vafilu karov, vafilu isha. Even a relative or a woman who would normally not be kosher to give financial testimony are believed over here in this regard. We just need to know, we don't need to have testimony, it's not a din in edus. Now the Gemara tells us, let's go back to this discussion that we just had. But Rishon Hashem is Kavon Shem Mitzvah, Mitzvah Yibin Kodemus Mitzvah Chalitza. Originally, when people had a purer intent, so then the Torah's idea of doing Yibam rather than Chalitza took precedence. However, V'achshav, at the times already of the Gemara, the people's purity had decreased. She'aim is Kavon Shem Mitzvah, and they didn't have only the pure Mitzvah of doing Yibam in mind. They had other Purian interests. So then, Amru Chazal said, Mitzvah Chalitza, Kodem le mitzvahs yibam. Then it's preferable that you do chalitza and not yibam. Amar Rami Bachama, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Rami Bachama said in Rabbi Yitzchak, Chazul Omer. Subsequently, in later generations, after that din in the Gemara, Chazul, they changed their mind. Lomer mitzvahs yibam kodem le mitzvahs chalitza. They again said, no, we prefer that you do yibam rather than chalitza. Now that's very strange. The Gemara says, Amar Le Rav Nachman Rabbi Yitzchak. Rav Nachman Yitzchak said to Rami Bachama, really? Achshur Dorei? Normally we have a rule, Niskatnu Adoris, the generations go down in Kedusha, down in their performance of mitzvos. And you're seeming to suggest that, yeah, the previous generation, those guys had prurient interests. But now, our generations, the later generations, we've risen in Kedusha. That's not normally the way we say it. Achshu Dari, are you suggesting that the later generations have more Kedusha than the early generations? So what are you saying, Rami Rechama? So Rami Rechama says back to Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Mei kara sabre lo kiabashol. Ul'besov sabre lo kirabana. No, this has nothing to do with the status of the generations. This has to do with psak halacha. And different generations can paskin differently. So the earlier generations paskin like the opinion of Abashol, which we'll see in a moment, more detail about that. Later generations paskin like the Chachamim. What exactly is this machlok is the Tanya? We're learning the following braisa. Abashol omer, Abashol said, if Shimon will go and take Reuven's widow, Rachel, because she's beautiful, or L'shabishos, he doesn't have a wife, he says, Baruch Hashem, I now found myself a wife. But he's not doing L'shem Yibum, or L'shem Dovaracha, for any other reason. She has a lot of money. She is well-connected, and she'll be able to do business connections for me. Whatever his reasons are, other than the pure Shem Mitzvah, Abba Shaul holds Ki'ilu Pogia B'erva. This is not called Eishes Ach B'Makom Mitzvah. This almost is like Eishes Ach Shelo B'Makom Mitzvah, because you're not doing it for the pure intention of doing Yibam. You have ulterior motives. You have prurient interests. V'Karov Ani Be'Nai. And Abishol says it's almost in my eyes, Leos of Vlad Mamzer. The Vlad would be a Mamzer, because this is Eishes Ach Shelo B'Makom Mitzvah, and that's Achi of Karez, and the Vlad would be a Mamzer. Now he's not saying it's literal, but he's saying it's as if, and therefore he's strongly doesn't allow Yibam, and says you must do Chalitza unless you're doing it for the purest of reasons. So originally, when they said you should go and switch from doing Yibam to Chalitza, they were following the opinion of Abishol. And then they subsequently changed and they passed like the Chacham. What was the Chacham? Chacham Mormim. Yavam Yavam Olam Yikomakum. The Pasuk says that the Yavam should go and take her. It doesn't say that it has to be purely the Shem Mitzvah. It says that Yibam is preferable to Chalitza. And therefore, in the later generation, they passed like the Chacham and said, yes, we go back again to doing the Mitzvah of Yibam over the Mitzvah of Chalitza. Who's the author of the following brisa? The brisa says, Yavama Yavola Mitzvah. Now, we don't really know how to understand this brisa, and that's what we're going to say. It could either go like Abishol, or it could go like the Chachamim. So that's why they're questioning who's the author of this brisa. The brisa just seems to say, Yavama Yavola, they're quoting the pasuk, and it says Mitzvah. Shebetchila. So the Braisa continues and says, originally, Haisolav Bichlal Heter, originally the woman before she married Reuven was potentially capable of marrying Shimon as well. Nasra, she went to marry Reuven, she became also to marry Shimon. Then Vichazra, Nebuch, upon the death of Reuven, Hutra, again, Chazra Vichutra, she becomes again able to go and marry Shimon now. Now, how do we understand this? Yochol Tazor Letera Rishon, the Brisa says, you might have thought that she goes back to the original Heter, Talmud Omer, Yavoma Yavoma Leha, Mitzvah. The Brisa concludes with this idea that the Pasuk says, Yavoma Yavoma Leha, it's a Mitzvah. Now, what does this mean? Mantana. Who is the author of this Brisa? How should we understand this Brisa? So we're going to read it again according to Abishal, and we're going to read it again according to Rabba. So our Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdimi says that this Brisa is understood to be authored by Abishal. Abishal, he is the author of this Brisa. This is where you'd read the Brisa. The Brisa starts off and says, Yavama Yavoleh Mitzvah, that the Yavama has to do the Mitzvah for the purest of interest. Now, how do we understand this according to Abishal? Shebetchila Yisraelah B'chlal Heter. Originally, before Reuven married Rachel, theoretically, Shimon could have married Rachel. And at that point in time, Rachel Shem Noi Konsa. A person has the right, halachically, to go marry, other than through a Yibam situation, according to Abishal, a person has the right to go marry for the purposes of a beautiful wife. Rachel Shem Noi Konsa. If Shimon originally wanted to marry Rachel because she was beautiful, he'd be allowed to. Rachel Shem Ishus Konsa. If he says, I'd like to have a wife, I'm getting to a certain age, I want to have a family, so he's allowed to marry her for that reason. However, once Reuven marries her, then Rachel becomes also to Shimon, Nesra. Then Nebuch, Reuven dies, Chaz Vuhutra, she becomes again permissible to Shimon, because Reuven died childless. So this is Eishes Achbe, Malka Mitzvah. But I might have thought, Yochol Tachzor Letera Rishon, I might have thought that when Shimon now has the opportunity to marry Rachel through Yibum, that you go back to the same way that it was originally. That if he wishes to, he's allowed to marry her because of Noi, or because of just Ishus. So Talmud Lomer, no. The only reason he's allowed to marry is Yavama Yavaleh LeMitzvah. It has to be L'Shem Mitzvah, and if he's not doing it purely for the Shem Mitzvah, he shouldn't go and marry her. That's the way Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdimi says the Brisa is to be understood according to Abishal. On the other hand, Rav understands it totally differently. Rav Amar, no. Afilu Tamar Rabbanan. We could explain this Brisa according to the opinion of the Chachamim. And this is the way they would understand the Hachi Kamar. When the Brisa says, Yavama Yavaleh Mitzvah, what does that mean? Shebetchila Haysa Bichlal Heter. Originally, before Reuven married Rachel, Shimon could have married Rachel. Ratzah Konsa, Ratzah and Konsa. If he wished to marry, he could. If he doesn't wish to marry, he didn't have to. Nesra, then, when she marries Reuven, she becomes also to Shimon. Nebuch, when Reuven dies, Chaz V'Hutra, she now becomes again eligible to marry Shimon, because this is Eishes Achbe Malka Mitzvah. He didn't have children, and therefore she's now falling to Shimon in Yibam. And I might have thought, Yochol Tazo L'Tererisho, that we go back to the way it was originally, which is as follows. Just like originally, Ratza Konsa, Ratza Eino Konsa, just like originally, before she was married to Reuven, if Shimon wanted to marry her, he could. But if he chose not to marry her, he didn't have to marry her. So to now, when it's a Yibam situation, you might have thought that it reverts to the original situation. If he wants to do Yibam, he can. If he doesn't want to do Yibam, he doesn't have to marry her. Where it says, what? Ratza Eino Konsa? So, ha, Agidabay, she's Zekuka L'Yavam. How can you say he doesn't have to marry her? There's a mitzvah of Yibam over here. What? She should go out being a Zekuka L'Yavam to Bichdei Tepok? She just goes out. He says, no, it's okay, bye. Nice knowing you. No, obviously that's not what it means. Ela Ema, Rotza Konsa, Rotza Cholitza. We might have thought that just like originally, if you want to marry, you could. If you didn't want to marry, you didn't have to. So to over here, if he wants to do Yibam with her, fine. If he doesn't want to, does Cholitza with her? No, that's why Talmud Lomer says, no, it is preferable. It's a mitzvah for him to do Yibam. So he doesn't have 100% free choice like he did before she was married to Reuven. Marry her, yes, marry her, no. Here, well, he can say no, but he has a mitzvah to go and do Yibam with her. So that's the way the Chachamim, as understood by Rava, would be the authors of this Mishnah. Now the Gemara says, wait a second. Emaresha, this Brisa that we just brought down, which talked about Yibam, that Yivam Yivoleh, a mitzvah, so there was a Resha to this Brisa. Now let's look at the Resha of that Brisa, which was patterned in the same way. Look at the Resha. That Resha said that the Pirchei Kahuna are allowed to go and eat the Shrayim of a Karban Mincha that a non-Kohen, a Yisrael, brought. If a Yisrael brought a Karban Mincha, so you take off the Kometz, you sacrifice the Kometz, the handful of the offering on the Mizbeach, and the Shrayim are allowed to be eaten by the Pirchei Kahuna. And it says that Matzos Teachel, all the Mincha offerings with one exception, were always made out of matzah, not chametz. So matzos teyochel b'makom kadosh. So they had to be eaten inside the azara. the Pirchei Kahuna were allowed to eat the matzah, the remainder shayim of the Karban Mincha, after the chametz was taken off, when it was brought by Yisrael, so then we had to eat the matzah in a matzah state in the Azara, in the Makom Kadosh. And it says about this, mitzvah. It's a mitzvah for them to go and do this. And the Brisa continues, Shebetchilo Haisu Allah B'chal Heter. Originally, before this Karban Mincha was actually Hukdash, so then, if a Kohen would wanted to eat this Karban Mincha, he could. If he didn't want to, he didn't have to. So it was his choice. Nasra v'chazra v'hutra. So once it was Hukdash, so now it's also to eat it. But Chazra v'hutra, once the kibitz was taken off, it again became permissible for these Kohanim to go and eat, the Pirchei Kuna to go and eat this Karban Mincha. So I might have thought Yochel Tavzor Leterah Rishon, it goes back to the original Heter, which again we'll see over here, so Machlokas, how you would understand, it's Yitzchak V'Radimi, according to Abishol, or Rav, according to the Chachamim, so Talmud Lomar, Matzos Teachel B'Makom Kadosh, Mitzvah. Again, this Brisa, the Reish, is patterned the same way we just had with the Sefer, with the Yibum case. So just like originally there was a certain heter, you might have thought it goes back to that, so it says, no, matzos teichel b'makom kadosh is a mitzvah. Now how do you understand this? So it works out very well according to Rava's understanding that the brisa goes according to the Chachamim. Bishlam l'Rava, according to Rava, says, the Omar, the Homani, Rabbanan, that this brisa is authored by the Chachamim, so it's authored by the Chachamim throughout, and therefore we understand this as follows. Hacha, hachi kamer, in the Reisha, this is the way the Chachamim understand the brisa. When the pasuk tells us matzos teichel b'makom kadosh mitzvah, that means shebetchilo haisa Allah b'chal heter. Originally, the person had the right, if he wished to go eat this flour. If he didn't wish to, he didn't have to eat the flour. Rotz ochlo, rotz ein ochlo. It was totally his choice. It wasn't hektish. Guy who wants to have bread, he can have bread. If he wants to have vegetables, he can have vegetables. He's not mechuyev to eat it. Then, when it was hukdash, it becomes a karban mincha nesra. Then it's forbidden for him to eat it. Even a kohen can't eat it before you take off the chametza. But then, once you take off the chametza and you sacrifice the chametza, chazra v'hutra. Now, the shrayim, when Yisrael brings it, the shrayim are now permissible to be eaten by the kohanim, the pirchei kohuna. When a kohen brings it, it's totally sacrificed. There is no chametza, it's totally sacrificed in this bath. That's why I keep on mentioning if Yisrael brings it. In any event, now it returns to its original heter. So I might have thought it totally returns to its original heter. Yochel tazo leteru rishon, totally. Meaning, rotza ochla, rotza eno ochla. If he wants to eat it, he can. If he doesn't want to eat it, he doesn't have to eat it. Nor says that can't be. Rotza eno ochla, how could you possibly say if he doesn't want to eat it, he doesn't have to? No, v'oksev yochlo sa masher kubar behem. It says, v'feirish, the pasuk tells us that the ones who bring it, meaning the kohanim that go and bring the kmitza and put it up on the mizbeah, so they're the ones that have to go and eat it, because that's how they get a kapara. That's how the balim get a kapara. Malayim isha kohanim ochlin, when the kohanim who bring it eat it, then Baalim miskarpin, then the Baalim who brought this Karban Mincha, for whatever reason they brought it for, that's when they get their kapara. So how can you say that Kohanim don't have to eat it? Rotza ochla, rotza eno ochla. That's not true. So where is it? You're right. Ella, rotza hu ochla, rotza koin achar ochla. You might have thought that he could eat it, or any other Pirchei Kuna could go and eat it. So that's what it, you might have thought, Chazru l'Heter Rishona. So Talmud Lomar, no. Matzos Teyachal B'Makom Kadosh is a mitzvah for the person, Tosus says at least part of it, the person who's bringing this, Kohen, who's bringing the Kmitza, so he should at least eat part of the Shrayim. Oh, that's what the mitzvah is. That works out perfectly well. Rav is understanding that the Mishnah is authored by the Chachamim. They understood it this way in the Reisha, they understood it this way in the Sefer. But we got a problem according to Abishol. El Rav Yitzchak Baradimi, the Amar Abishol, who says that the author, the Sefer, the Mishnah is Abishol. How are you going to understand that for the Reish of the Mishnah? Hocha, Maitre, Gavni, Ika. By Abishol's understanding of the Sefer, that there is two possibilities to do the mitzvah. You do it pure, l'shem, mitzvah of Yibam, or you can do it with prurient interest. So how do you have the same thing in regards to a mincha? How can you eat it with one way of pure interest and then another way of eating without pure interest or somewhat purient interest? You're going to tell me, v'chitema, rotza l'teyavon ochla, rotza achila gasa ochla, that the choices are, you're eating it l'teyavon, which is a mitzvah to eat it l'teyavon, or it's a mitzvah to go and eat it, even achila gasa. Achila gasa is not considered eating, the Gemara says. So that can't be. How can you tell me that those are the two choices? Achila gasa, mi shmo achila. That's not called eating. Where do we see that? V'omer Yishlakish, Yishlakish says, if a person stuffed himself before Yom Kippur. Every Yom Kippur, he eats and eats and eats. He goes into Kol Nidre. He is absolutely stuffed. He can't eat another thing, even if he wanted to. So if somebody then is a Rasha, he goes and eats. He's stuffed. He's getting zero hanah out of it. This is called Achilas Gasa. And during Kol Nidre, he pulls out an apple and he starts eating the apple. So this is called Achilas Gasa. He's technically not over the mitzvah of inui on Yom Kippur, because this guy is not getting any benefit from this food. He is so stuffed to the gills, so he's not over lo sunet. A tzaddik, he's not, but he's not going to be chayev in this situation, kares, because he technically is not over lo sunet. So that can't be the two options according to Abishol. So Gemara says, you're right. How would Rabbi Yitzchak Avdimi understand Abishol's understanding of the first part of the Mishnah? Ella, rotza matzah ochla, rotza chametz ochla. So what he's telling us over here is that if this person wishes to eat it as matzah, he can eat it as matzah. If he wishes to, however, he can let it become chametz. The shrayim could become chametz, and he could eat it as chametz. And therefore, what it's telling us is, no, he doesn't have the choice like originally, before it was hektish to be matzah or chametz, now he doesn't have the choice that it could be chametz. Gemara says, that's wrong. How come? The pasuk tells us that you're not allowed to eat it as chametz. All of this has to be eaten as matzah. So why is that an option? Even your chelek, even the shrayim, can't be chametz. Gemara says, you're right. So therefore, Ella rotza matzah ochla, rotza cholot ochla. In fact, the choices are, if he wishes to originally, he could have had it as matzah, or he could have it as a different type of matzah called cholot. Cholot is you put it in boiling water, and then you go and bake it. So that's not called chomet, but it's not exactly the same thing as matzah. So originally, you had the choice of eating matzah before it was hektish. You could have eaten it as matzah, or you could have eaten it cholot, and now, after it becomes shrayim, after it's karban mincha, and now it's hutter to him again, when you had the kmitza done, so now he doesn't have the choice anymore to have it cholot. Where it says, what was exactly the point over here? Hai cholot hechidami. When you're telling me it's cholot, how is that different than matzah? He matzah he, so ha matzah. So then why would that be a problem? If it's matzah, it's matzah. And vilo matzah he, so then we already said, matzos amurachmana, we said you have to have it as matzah. You're not allowed to have it as chametz. So what exactly is this option of saying matzah or cholot? They're both either matzah, or if it's not matzah, then it's not an option. But I says, you're right. Lo, that's not the way to understand it, because ula olam eimu l'chol matzah. You're right, the cholot is matzah. However, ula holchi tana be'kra la'akev. The whole point over here of telling us this, that it has to be matzah, it means a specific type of matzah, but not something that technically is matzah, but is called cholot. Gemara says, el cholot matzah, the karmina l'mahilchusa. But then if you're telling me that there's a difference between by the mincha, between matzah and cholot, so then they're both called matzah. Of what nafkumina, of what practical significance, l'may hilchasa, is there a reason to say that cholot is called matzah? If you're not allowed to use it for matzah, for the shrayim, so then why do we care that it's called matzah? What's the nafkumina of calling cholot matzah? Oh, that's nogea le'inyan. That's in regards to Pesach. We have an obligation to have matzah on Pesach, on the Seder night, according to Vilna Gaon. Every time you eat matzah all during Pesach, you get a mitzvah. So would you be yotzei the mitzvah of eating matzah by eating cholot? So even though you put the flour into boiling water and you were cholot it, you were scalding it, so kivan tahadr afi betanu, since you went and immediately baked it afterwards, it didn't have a chance to become chametz. So it is matzah in this situation. Lechem oni karina bay. It does have the status of being matzah, of being lechem oni, and one can fulfill the mitzvah of eating matzah on Pesach with such matzah. So that's why it's important to know that this cholut is classified as matzah. So in regards to the shrayim, you have a specific pasuk that tells us that you can't do chalita to it. You can't scald it. But in regards to the mitzvah of Pesach, you can fulfill your mitzvah of eating matzah on Pesach even with this cholut matzah. Okay, let's go weiter. Let's do the next mitzvah. We'll finish up mitzvah Shem to the bottom of this daf. Hacholet liyavimto, if a person does chalitza to his yivama. Now, harehu ki echo ben achel and achla. Here we now say that if you do chalitza, then you're not entitled to any special inheritance from the brother. So when Shimon does chalitza, so then he becomes exactly like Levi and Yehuda in regards to the inheritance of Reuven. If there's a father, the father inherits everything, and then when the father passes away, then it will go down to all the brothers evenly. But if there is no father, so now all the brothers that are alive, obviously Reuven has no children. That's why they were talking about even Chalitza. So Reuven's estate goes evenly to all the other brothers. There's no Bechor issue over here. So therefore, let's say there's Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda. Each of them get one third of Reuven's estate. And again, if there's a father, so then Nechashim Shalav, the father inherits. When there's no children going down, then you go up a generation. You go up to the father. If there's no father, then you go down to the brothers. But if in fact Hakone says Yivimto, if Shimon did Yibam with Reuven's widow, so then Zochim Nechasim Shalachu, then he gets all the Nechasim of Reuven. He inherits Reuven 100%. Shimon and Levi Shimon gets 100%, and Levi and Yehuda get zilch in that situation. Zocha ben chos v'shalachim. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama. Yehuda disagrees. Yehuda Omer, benkach u'benkach, in both of these situations, whether he does chalitza or he does yibam, there is no question of inheritance if the father is alive. Im yeshom av, nechosu shalav. The father trumps the inheritance of the brothers. The rule of inheritance is the person dies, so Reuven dies, so if he has any children, his children go and inherit him. The father gets nothing, the brothers get nothing. If there are no children, then you go back up to the father. And if the father's alive, he gets everything. If the father's not alive, so then you go to the father's other sons. So in that situation, then the Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda would go and inherit Reuven. And Rav Yehuda says, even in a Yibam situation, if there is a father, then Shimon, who did the Yibam, gets no special interest in the inheritance. It all goes up to the father, goes up to Yaakov in this situation. That's what the Mishnah says. Gemara starts off and says the first din of the Mishnah that if Shimon did chalitza, then he's just like all the other brothers. So Gemara says, Pshita, why would you think he's not like all the other brothers? Gemara says, no. So could I techamina chalitza b'mkom yibam kaima? Then ishkol kul nirse. One might have thought that if he does yibam, he gets everything. So he's doing chalitza instead of yibam. So he also gets everything if he does chalitza. Even though Shimon didn't do yibam, he did chalitza, he should still get all the inheritance of Reuven. And therefore, kamash v'lon, that that's not the case. Where it says, okay, that sounds very good, but ihachi, then why did he use the lashon of harehu ki echod min ha'achim? He should have said, eino elo ki echod min ha'achim yibayalei. Why did it say he's like one of the brothers? He should have said he's only like one of the brothers if what you're suggesting is correct. Where it says, no. Elo soka da'itachamini, you know what I might have thought? Since he didn't do yibum, but he did chalitza, hold the afsida mi yibum. Since he didn't do Yibam, so we should give him a knas, liknasi, that he should get no inheritance. That's why kamash v'lan, he is treated like one of the brothers. There's no punishment. He gets no benefit for doing the chalitza, but he doesn't have any punishment as well. Then it says, im yesh sham av, if there is a father, so then the father gets the estate and not the brothers. It goes up to the father, to Yaakov, in the situation where chalitza is done. Why is that? Because the Amar Man, these are the regular rules of inheritance. Of course, M'cho Yosi Recho, that in a situation where there is no son of the deceased, so then it goes up to the father, he takes a higher kadima, he takes a higher priority than any of the other relatives of the deceased. Then we quote the Mishnah, if a person were to go and actually take the woman as his wife, he's doing Yibam with her, Shimon does Yibam with Rachel, so then he is considered the sole inheritor of Reuven's estate. How come? My time, what's the reasoning behind this? So the Pasuk says, Yakum Hashem Achiv Arachmana Vahari Kam. He will take the place, so to say, of the brother. He will be in his place, and he was in his place by doing Yibam, and therefore he's entitled to inherit Reuven as opposed to all the other brothers that now get zero share, whereas they would have inherited him all equally if he had done Chalitza. Now the Mishnah is quoted, Rav Yehuda Omer v'chulei, Rav Yehuda disagrees. Yehuda says, no, if there's a father, then the father inherits, because that's the normal law of Yerusha, and he will supersede the Yavam's right. So while if there's no father, Yehuda agrees that Shimon would inherit the entire estate of Reuven, but if there is a father, then he gets nothing. He gets absolutely no rights to it if there's a father who inherits ahead of him. Amar Ula explains, Halachi Rav Yehuda, we passing like this opinion of Yehuda, and likewise, Zechayt Amar Rav Yitzchak Nafcha, Halachi Rav Yehuda. So too did Rav Yitzchak Nafcha say that Halachi is like Rav Yehuda. Now, how come? The Amar Ula said, Allah says, Yitem Rav Yitzchak Nafcha, both of them hold this way. So we have both of them actually holding that the reasoning is, my time of Rav Yehuda, why does Rav Yehuda paskin like he says that the father gets everything? Because he holds that the chsiv, the pasuk says, v'ayah b'chor asher tilei. We say in this situation that the b'chor, which is a reference to the oldest brother to do yibam, as we had darshaned earlier in the Masechta, so it says he's called ha-b'chor. So therefore, he has the same status as a b'chor, ki-b'chor. What is that? Ma b'chor ein lo b'chayav, af hai, nami ein lo b'chayav. Just like a b'chor gets nothing during his father's lifetime, he'll get pishnaim when the father never passes away, but during the father's lifetime, the b'chor gets nothing. So too over here, if there is a father, if Yaakov is still around, so then Shimon gets nothing from Reuven, the inheritance primarily, as we pointed out, of Kodem L'cho Yotze Yerecho. So therefore, in this situation, even though Shimon did Yibam, he gets nothing based upon this idea. That's Rabbi Yehuda, the Tanna's Shita. Ma b'chor ein lo b'chayav, af hai nami ein lo b'chayav. Now the Gemara says, Ima b'chor b'notel p'shnayim l'acham isa so'av. Avhai notel p'shnayim l'acham isa so'av. So maybe, just like the b'chor, after the father does pass away, oh, then he gets his double share. So too, maybe, after the father passes away in this situation, so then Shimon should get the double share. He should get the regular share he's entitled to, and he gets Reuven's share. Maybe, like the b'chor, he should get p'shnayim too. So the Gemara says, no. Me the Yochum Hashem Aviv Ksiv, does he inherit based upon his father? No, he only gets Yochum Hashem Aviv Ksiv and below Hashem Aviv, and not based upon the father. And here, since the inheritance is only coming from the father, it's no longer coming from Reuven, therefore this Yavam Shimon is entitled to nothing according to the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara therefore says the following, maybe there should be no Yibam if there's a father alive. Maybe when there is no father alive, Yaakov is out of the picture, and then Reuven dies. So then, since he will get the Nachalot, he'll be Yochum, b'shem Ochiv, so then there's a mitzvah of Yibam. Maybe, however, Hechon de'ikav, if there's a father around, if Yaakov is around, the lo shokul nachala, since Shimon will not get the nachala if he does Yibam, maybe taket is no mitzvah Yibam, lo tiskai mitzvah Yibam. So we have a theoretical idea here that you only do Yibam not only when Reuven dies childless, but if he dies fatherless. Only when there's no father and no child do we do Yibam. But if there's a child, you certainly don't. But even if there's no child, but there is a father still around, maybe based upon this drasha, we shouldn't do Yibam. So Gemara rejects that. Gemara says, no. Me the Yibam benachla tal rachmana. Are the two connected? Where do you see that? Pasuk says, Yabu miyabbe, that there's a mitzvah of Yibam. No. And if there's no father, then Rabbi Yehuda would say, then you're entitled to the Nachla. No, if there is a father, then you don't get the Nachla. But the two aren't interconnected, and therefore he rejects this idea that Reuven has to not only be childless, but he also has to be fatherless for there to be a din of Yibam. Okay, so this is Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. We have these two Amorayim actually say, Rabbi Yitzchak Navcha and Ula, that the halacha is like this Das Yochid, like this opinion of the Tana, Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara now questions this. Yosef Rabbi Chanina Kara. Rabbi Chanina, who was an expert on Psukim, that's why he was called Rabbi Chanina Kara. He was once sitting, Kameh Rabbi Yanai, and the Yosef Kamar, and we mentioned this many times, so always could I mention it one more time, that originally they would be sitting there, they wanted to ask a question, they would stand up, and they were given permission to ask the question, then they could sit down. So therefore, he was originally sitting, he stood up, and then the Yosef Kamar, when he's given permission to ask the question, he sat down again, and he asked. He actually said, he wasn't asking a question over here, he said, the halacha is Rabbi Yehuda. So when Rabbi Yanai heard him say this, that this Rabbi Chanina Cross said that we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda the Tani, he said, puk kuri karyech livra. He said, go and take your psukim outside. In other words, you're wrong. We don't paskin like the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Ein halacha ki Rabbi Yehuda. In fact, you should have said that ein halacha ki Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara continues and says, Toni Tana Kamei de Rav Nachman. There was an Amora who learned the braises in front of Rav Nachman. That's why they call them Tana. So Toni Tana Kamei de Rav Nachman. He learned the following braise in front of Rav Nachman. Ein halachi Rav Yehuda. And he learned it the way Rav Yanai just learned it, which was that Ein halachi Rav Yehuda. And Amalei, Rav Nachman said to him, Ela Kaman, and who is the halacha like? So he said, Kirabonu, like the Chachamim. So Pshita, he says, but that's obvious. Why would you need to tell me that the halacha is like the Chachamim? When you have a machlokas between a majority opinion and a singular opinion, a rabbin versus a yachid, yachid the rabbin, halacha karabim. So why would I need you to tell me that the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda? So Amalei, when this Amora was saying this over in front of Rav Nachman, he said, oh, I made a mistake. Obviously, Ismaye, should I delete this braisa that says Ein Halachik Rabbi Yehuda? So Gemara says, no. Amalei, Rav Nachman told him, you are correct, actually. Don't delete the braisa. Lo, don't delete the braisa, because At Halacha Isnaye, because you're right. In fact, that is true, that Ein Halachik Rabbi Yehuda. But just a very funny way of saying it. And notice that they didn't say that halacha is like the Chachamim, but they said Ein Halacha Rabbi Yehuda. And why is that? Because Umuk Shehu the Akshilach, when you were taught this, and now you're saying it over in front of me, you must have heard originally that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, as we had heard these other Amorayim say. You said, that's not right. How could it be that the halacha is like the Yochid and not like the Rabbin? And therefore, you changed it around, the Achs, and you said the halacha must have been said that ain't halacha ki Rabbi Yehuda, not that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. Ulamai the avchis shaper avchis. And in fact, when you switched it around, that was the right way. The halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda; it's like the chachabim. Since you had originally heard it though that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, that's why you phrased it. Not that the halacha is like the chachamim, but you said the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda. That is incorrect. And therefore, since you switched it around, you're saying it correctly because the halacha is in fact like the chachamim. Now, when you said to me now, ain halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda, you had forgotten that you had originally heard it, that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, and that's why you're not remembering fully that Yochid Rabbim, halacha k'Rabbim is pshita, and therefore you wanted to delete this, because you forgot that there was a potential mistake. People were saying that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore you wanted to clarify, and that you had heard that the halacha is in fact ain halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda, and you are right for phrasing it this way, and that is the conclusion of the Gemara, that the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda. Baruch Hashem, we've gotten down to the bottom of Mem Omid Aleph, so we now gained another half of one of the Daf Yomi days to help us out with Pesach. With this, we conclude today's shir. Just want to remind everybody, again, this Sunday night, many of you may be hearing this after I've already given the shir, but B'ezus Hashem, this Sunday night, I'm giving a shir, something to say at the Seder. It will be available on OU Torah, and probably on YU Torah as well, and it will be an hour shir, 45 minutes to an hour shir, regarding Vertlach to say over at the Seder, about the Seder, and everybody's welcome to listen to it live via Zoom, or to just listen to the audio on OU Torah or YU Torah before the Seder begins. Have a wonderful Shabbos.